I want to thank those who are leading this morning. For those who don't know, I was out last Sunday. I've been rocking and rolling for the last 8.5, 9 days, passing a kidney stone. And so, amen. And so, the words, "it's too small to take out, so it has to pass," is not the words you ever want to hear from anything. So, I've been doing that. And in the midst of that, I aspirated, and so it messed up my voice. So they're checking, taking care of my voice for me this morning. So everything's a little shortened for me because they're taking care of me this morning. So Becca for this service and Jane's going to take care of me in second service. So I'm not trying to sing or speak or do anything beyond just what you're seeing. So it will not be my normal rambunctious self. Amen. It's okay to say that. Amen. And so I was very quiet this morning. So let's have prayer, and then we'll spend just a few moments here because I'm ready to listen to this group sing. How about y'all? Amen. And so, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the day. It is a beautiful and good day. It may be raining outside, but the showers of blessings on our soul come from your Son, Jesus Christ. So allow us to spend just a few moments with this text. Hear the base of it and see how it applies to us this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As you read the text, I want to make sure that we get in front of us the principles of what's being said. The vineyard that you read about in that text is the nation of Israel. And its owner is God. So as you hear them take the vineyard, they have company, they're supposed to take care of it. But you see, the landowner is God. God gives the land and says to them, it's your place to take the land, to be prepared in the land, to do what you're supposed to with the land. In the midst of that, we see something about God that I don't know that we understand fully. God wants to trust us. God wants to give us a place that is our ministry, our place of land, our place of doing work in this community. And God wants to trust us. And it's not that God leaves like the landowner did, but God lets us be in charge of what God has put us in charge of. God wants to be in trust of us as his children. The cultivators in this text are the religious leaders. They're Israel. They're in charge of cultivating the nation religiously. They may not be in charge like be the president or the Roman emperor or anything like that, but it's their job to cultivate religious faith and belief within the land. God trusts us as people of God, even though we may vary and differ on how we see things exactly. God trusts us as people of God to cultivate religious understanding within the land. Now, there's some basic tenets. I mean, you've heard me say this. Y'all know my faith in this. Basic tenets is Jesus Christ died on a cross, rose again the third day, went to be with the Father. And our faith in God and the resurrected Christ is the key cornerstone to everything we talk about. And if you go to the very end of this text, it talks about a cornerstone. The cornerstone is that faith in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. That is our cornerstone. Now, we can disagree on things. We can disagree on how we see things within the church, within community, but there has to be a key faith that we draw to and believe in and teach, and it's given our responsibility to be the ones to do that. If we don't do it, who's going to? Well, watch what happens. The messengers are sent because the people at time of harvest are supposed to give back, as I told the children. So the messengers are sent, and these are the prophets and the prophets and the prophets. You ever spend time in the Old Testament? How many prophets actually came to the nation of Israel and spent time? Have you ever noticed that? It's not like he sent one person. It's not like in some cases he had more than one person at one time. He continues to send and to cultivate and to bring and to have prophets come trying to say, this is the word, this is how we should be. He's wanting the leaders to know this is how we should act and how we should be. And leaders don't always know how they should act and be, but if they're paying attention and they're listening to God, they will come back to what God's cultivative story is. But we have to be involved in that conversation. We have to listen to that. So it is very important to understand God's patience. Has God been patient with you? I mean, think about it. I mean, how often has God been patient with us? Oh, my goodness. How many times could God have said, I'm just not going to send anybody else? Or I'm done. Or that's the last sin. Or we're not having this conversation anymore. Or I'm abandoning. And yet, what does God keep doing? If you use biblical terms, he sends prophet after prophet after prophet. He sends his son. We're going to talk about his son in a second. We'll set Jesus aside just for a second. Although we won't set Jesus aside long. But he talks about his son. And then after Jesus, what does he do? He sends the letters. He sends Paul. He sends James. He sends Timothy. He sends all those different folks out to continue to do prophetic work. And I would suggest to you that God continues to do that through the pastors and the leaders and the teachers and the Sunday school teachers and everybody else that involves themselves with us even to this day. And not to put any pressure on the group that's going to sing, because I've heard them practice. They're prophetic word about to sing to us. That's part of what they do. That's how we understand God's work, is that working within the song, working within the music, working within everything that occurs, that's how God works in this church and every place else. He's not giving up on us. He has patience with us. God loves us. And so that's something I think we forget. I think we want to think of that picture that some people create of God, of walking around with a big stick, getting ready to whack us on top of the head every time we sin. Well, if I'd been whacked on the top of the head every time I sinned, I'd be 1 foot one and you wouldn't be able to see me anymore. Instead, he lets me be me. He still trusts me to be me. He still loves me as me, and he's still patient with me, because the understanding of Christ is through me and through you is that we grow to be a better Christian tomorrow than we are today. That the moment we cease growing, we cease to become more Christ-like, and moving on to perfection is not a static state, it's a moving on state to the place that God would have us be. So God is patient. But then the Son comes. And when the Son comes, what happens? The Son comes, he arrives. And what do? Now, you got to understand that the prophetic people of the time, when Jesus tells this story, if you read the scripture and heard Becca read them, they knew right then that Jesus was talking about them and him. They knew right then that they knew that they were going to have him killed. And they knew right then he knew what they were plotting. And he looks them in the eye. And if he was from the south, now he wasn't from the south. Maybe South Israel. But he's not from the south. He just said, give it your best shot. Because I'm still here. And I'm going to be here. And I've come for this reason. And then he gives the caveat. A clear caveat of what he would do by saying, if you don't do this, we're going to give it to others to do. Because the story does not stop just because Jesus is crucified. The story does not come to an end just because we appear that Jesus is coming to an end. The story of Christ is never, ever going to be a dead story. It's always a living, vibrant, enthusiastic story of a living Christ, a wonderful, breathing, living Christ that breathes through us, through the Holy Spirit, in this space and in our soul with every breath that we take. And if we see that, and if we understand that, and if we know that, then salvation is not a one-time experience of just accepting Christ, but salvation is a growing, living experience where the vineyard of our soul grows and grows and grows and harvest and harvest and harvest from now through all of eternity. Because God is with us each step of that way. Now, friends, that's about all this voice has this morning. But I had to preach to y'all this morning. I've got a friend sitting in the audience who was ready to preach. He's out there with his sermon ready. He's ready to go. And I appreciate that. But I had to speak to y'all this morning because God's word is more vibrant than anything we can possibly imagine. Now, Cheryl, are you ready? Did I do good? Cheryl's coming to introduce. Amen.